Now it's time for Stages.
Stages.
All the world's a stage.
It's where we talk about
all things
theatrical.
It's about theatre.
Theatre makers.
If it's performing on a stage, we've got it for you here on Stages.
It's about half an hour long.
Okay, let's get on with the show.
Okay, let's get right into it. I'm Regina Bodges, and in the studio with me, Roderick Chambers is back.
Yes, hello. Hi, I didn't know I'd gone.
Well, I haven't seen you in the last couple of weeks. And no. Trisha Starrs.
Hi, Regina.
Hi, we've got a great show coming up. Four Stages about theatre and all those sort of things. You'll be filling us in on a show a little later.
Yes, that's right. There's
warning,
a bit of a
warning.
Language warning here. Yes, Fucking Men, that's playing for the Mardi Gras at the New Theatre.
Okay, we'll hear about that a little later on in the show. Also,
Is that with a full stop or an exclamation mark?
It's got lots of stars in the middle of it.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah. We'll be also talking with the director from Metamorphosis, which is at the Old Fitzroy Theatre. Now, it's not the Kafka. It's the Ovid poem, I think, that it's addressing. So we'll have a talk with the director about that and also.
And we'll be talking to Wayne Tunks, who's written the wonderful According to Otto, which is playing at the Depot Theatre, again for Mardi Gras Festival.
And one of our old regulars, Benito D'Afonso, he's playing some music this weekend at the Mosh Pit. So I'll play a little track. Here's our last Chico role in a rundown tuck shop.
Fabulous.
A story about a grill, about a deep-fried heart, about a deep-fried country, about a deep-fried ambition. Well, we were snapped frozen and deported before we were born. Destined to end our days in this linoleum gulag, down here on the lazy corner of a lonely and forlorn. Even them little cockroaches, they don't drop in. Well, I'm the last Chico roll in this rundown tuck shop. I'm the last Chico roll in this dirty Bain Marie. I'm the last Chico roll, longing to be free. Well, I've been stuck down here since 3rd June 1983. Take a bite of me, please. Put me out of my misery. The scallops are as dry as cardboard. The salad bar's dead as the old Galaga machine. The milkshakes taste like 1977 with a texture of cottage cheese. And I'm just the last Chico roll in this rundown tuck shop, struggling to stay warm amongst the flies under this dirty Bain Marie. I'm the last Chico roll in this dirty Bain Marie. I'm the last Chico roll, longing to be free. Well, I've been stuck down here since 3rd June 1983. Take a bite out of me, please. Put me out of my misery. There's no sense of camaraderie. And the old queen who runs his dive has forgotten about us. Her big-eared brat's not interested in flogging soggy chips. But I'm still here, old me, the last Chico roll in this rundown tuck shop, struggling to stay warm amongst the flies in this dirty Bain Marie. I'm the last Chico roll in this dirty Bain Marie. I'm the last Chico roll, longing to be free. Well, I've been stuck down here since 3rd June 1983. I'm the last Chico roll. Can't even get the doll. Staring at the poster of the Mikey Mole. Blue tack peeling down the wall. I'm the last Chico roll in this dirty Bain Marie.
Benito D'Afonso there with the Suburban Bukowskis. They'll be playing on Saturday at the Mosh Pit.
That's right.
Great little venue down in Newtown. We want to support new music venues here, and it's a great kind of, cool little vibe down there.
Yeah, it is on King Street, and it's nice and intimate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, two towns in New South Wales claim the Chico roll, you know.
Really?
The first people, yeah.
Where? What towns?
Well, I think it's, Walker? Is it Bathurst and Goulburn?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, really?
Something like that, yeah.
They claim to have the first...
that claimed to be the first, like to have originated the Chico roll.
Wow.
I thought Wagga was in there as well. Wagga.
Oh, maybe it was Wagga.
Benita should do a tour to those places.
He should. Yeah, get some sponsorship at least.
Yeah. Well, playing at the, which theatre is it on? At the Depot Theatre.
Yeah, at the Depot.
Is a latest production, according to Otto. And
Tunks production. Wayne Tunks.
And we have one of the performers, Brendan Paul, on the line to have a chat about the production. Welcome to Stages, Brendan.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
So this is a kind of coming-of-age story, but with a twist.
That's right. It's all about Otto, who's turning 16, but it's all about his coming out to the world.
Mm.
So he decided that on his 16th birthday, he would come out to his family and to the world around him. And, this is him, finally doing that.
Right.
And all of the...
Confronting his fears and...
Yeah, all of the things that come with that. All of the hilariousness and awkwardness and, of course, the heart-touching moments that come with that.
I've heard that Wayne is playing the father in this. Is that correct?
That's right. Wayne is playing Otto's father.
And he's kind of a bit of a dad joke type father, is that correct?
Yes, no, he loves his dad jokes. He loves his, has a very boring job, which Otto never really knows what it is. So he's, just a bit of a typical dad, really.
And it's hard enough coming out, being a teenager without this added, element to it. Is that what the story is about him confronting what society's, attitudes towards it or family attitudes around it?
Yeah, I mean, it's got a bit of both. I mean, it's largely to do with how the family reacts for a lot of the play is, how that kind of disrupts the family dynamic and then kind of brings them all together. But then, of course, the world around him. Like, I'm playing his best friend, Max. Of course, it comes out that Otto is a little bit in love with Max. And when I say a little bit, I mean a lot bit.
But you don't know. Do you know?
And I don't know. Mm. And so, that's the big thing for him to deal with is the idea of, coming out to his best friend who he, hopes is also gay.
And that's kind of the main reason he's, that's why it's now, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, that's why he wants to bring this up right now. And is everyone surprised, or are there some people going, "Oh yeah, I knew"?
No, mostly surprises.
Yeah.
But so it's a lot of surprises generally going around for Otto. But there's a lot of different reactions. There's some people being just like, "That's so cool." Some people taking a while to kind of deal with it. And we kind of get all the different angles.
Because don't you find there's always someone that goes, "Oh, yeah, I knew."
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell.
There's always someone going, "Yeah, I knew." Yeah, it's no surprise to me.
And you've got, it's a 16-year-old actor that's playing Otto. Are you also that young?
No. So Jasper, who's playing Otto, he is 16.
Yeah.
But I'm playing his 16-year-old best friend, and I just turned 26.
Oh my God.
So there's a bit of an age gap between us. But
That moisturizer's working well.
Great. That's good to hear.
It also deals with things like bullying and other issues that are in the playground.
That's right. A lot of very, 16-year-old themes, like very typical kind of, goes to a private school and there's a lot of bullying, there's a lot of all these kind of, not nice things. And, he's got to deal with that along with his kind of revelation to the world.
And so the audience that's going to come to the Depot and see it, do you think that it's mainly younger people that would relate to According to Otto and the things that go through when you're young and you are coming out? Or is it sort of a bit for everyone, do you think? Or
I would definitely say it's a play for everyone. I mean, there's people from all sorts of age ranges in the play kind of represented, all kind of sharing their own opinions and takes on what's going on. So it very much represents all the age groups. I think the comedy is very universal, how the characters kind of deal with each other and, the hilarity of the awkwardness. There's a lot of just hilarious, awkward moments, which, great for everybody. So I would say it's a play for everyone. And, of course, it's incredibly relevant because, this is an issue we need to talk about and discuss everywhere. So... Yeah, I think I would encourage everyone to come see it at the Depot Theatre on Friday.
And is I was just wondering too, once Otto's drops the bombshell, so to speak, is there anything about what's next? Like, has he thought beyond this, or is it just like he's just got to get over this?
Well, yeah, there is obviously mentioned that there is more beyond this, but it very much deals with this moment. You know, how does he deal with coming out to the world? Of course, there will be more, you know, trials and tribulations further down the line, but this is all about this moment, you know, and, you know, kind of coming to terms with his new life.
And, of course, coming out used to be, you know, a very, you know, difficult thing. I guess, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it was almost unheard of and very difficult to do, although people still did used to do it. And as we know, Magda came out quite late, you know, which was surprising for a lot of people. But do you think that the whole coming out story is still a hard one or a relevant one, or is it just very easy to do and is, you know, a lot more casual in, 2018?
I think it's definitely better than it was in the past, definitely. But there's still a lot of people that would have a lot of trouble due to their surroundings. You know, there's all sorts of places where it's very, very difficult to kind of, you know, be accepted as a gay person. So I think there's definitely a lot of places where it's still a very much challenge, and even just the mindset is, you know, coming out to people who you're super close to your family, I think that still would be a difficult thing, no matter how loving and supportive your family is. That would be incredibly tough, even in 2018. It's definitely better than it was, but, yeah, I think it'd still be pretty tough.
Yeah, so I've had friends who've had their children come out, and sometimes they say, oh, but they're going to have such a hard life. And I think even that attitude can be quite destructive for the young person, you know, rather than, you know, just saying, oh, okay. You know, even open people tend to react a little bit like that. And how does Wayne react in this as the father figure to Otto?
The father figure?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the father figure is quite supportive. I mean, he takes a moment to kind of process it. There's a, you know, big kind of, you know, shock for him and the mother, but yeah, he very much is supportive pretty quickly. But then that's you know, juxtaposed nicely with his mother. Takes a lot longer to kind of warm up to the idea, and so there's a lot of tension in that.
Terrific. Well, Brendan, thank you so much for joining us.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for having me.
Brendan Paul there, the best friend of Otto and love interest, I suppose. And waiting, according to Otto, is playing until the 24th at the Depot Theatre. Get along and see
it. Yeah, don't miss it.
Were you going to say waiting for Otto?
Waiting for he was. Did you hear that?
Another classic.
Up next. Part two, waiting for Otto. Here's a little No Mono playing at the Lansdowne this Thursday and Friday.
This is the bottom line. Let it find you. I'll go there with you. I guess it's kind of like you're losing all you had held on to. And I can hear it now, rushing over, rushing to me.
Stages. Well, something else, another kind of in the Mardi Gras theme that's going on this weekend, only on this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, is Joan, which is playing at the Sound Lounge at the Seymour Centre. And we have a little message from the writer of this show.
Here you go.
Hello, my name is Lucy J. Skilbeck, and I'm a writer and director. I am from Milk Presents Theatre Company, and we are visiting Sydney for the very first time this week with our play, Joan. Now, Joan is a drag king play, so it's a mixture of drag king cabaret and new writing, and it's performed by a drag king named Lucy Jane Parkinson. And you might think, what is a drag king? Well, it's anyone of any gender who is exploring and performing masculinity. Now, Joan of Arc led an army dressed as a man and changed the course of the 100-year war. I find her totally fascinating, and I wonder, what did she think about her gender? How did she identify? Would she identify in a way that we might think today, or not at all? Now, the show is really, really fun. There are songs, there's comedy, and there's new writing, and we are on at Sydney Seymour Centre on the 16th, 17th and 18th of February, and I hope you can make it.
What I was thinking, what happened over at the waterline. No, what happened to me where I was swimming every other night. Help me.
Trish, you've been out to the theatre. What have you been to see?
Yes, I have been to see A Fucking Men at the New Theatre. And this is, of course, part of Mardi Gras.
And Mardi Gras Festival.
Yeah, Mardi Gras Festival. And this is, well, New Theatre does a Mardi Gras, but you know, play every February, every year. And they're usually pretty good. And this one is pretty good. It's a huge cast as well.
Oh, yeah.
Huge cast, all male cast. It's really beautifully directed by Mark Nagel. And it's written by Joe DiPietro. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
But it's loosely based on Schnitzler's 19th century satire, La Ronde, which I have seen. And La Ronde
in
is...
around.
Yeah, it's like it goes from one lover to the next, from one situation. And what Joe has done with this play, the rewrite of this play, is it's about gay men's lives, and it's in the round, and they even have a round bed that they kind of move around the stage as you go from one scenario to the other. So, you know, you have different stereotypes in a way. It's like, you know, the husband, the writer, the prostitute, and it goes from each person's little story into the next story. And what I quite liked about how it's linked is that you would have the actor who was going to be the main part in the next story would do a little monologue outside of that scene, and then it would link in. So it goes around, and like La Ronde does, but it's quite different because it's very much about gay men's lives. There's a lot of sex on stage. It's a very sexy play.
I was going to say, nudity as
there's
well.
Tons of nudity, tons of sex. Most scenes end with sex. And the sort of main theme is it's looking at...
sex.
Sex, yeah. But it's the conflict, I think, is through monogamy and promiscuity, and it's kind of looking at promiscuous gay men and monogamous gay men, and how do you keep a relationship going? And there's some very amazing quotes in it. One quote is, "Why does any guy have sex with strangers? Because it feels fan fucking tastic." And there's another sort of quote about, "Well, if you don't have sex and opportunity with that person, then how do you make these connections? Because the best connection are made through having sex with strangers." So it's kind of about having sex with strangers, but then needing that love and that consistent love. To me, I didn't know if this was going to be such a big issue for people, but I think that they do this really well, and they keep it lighthearted, and it is quite funny. My favourite story was the writer, and Sammy is the character, and it's played by Jackson Blair West. And he has the best lines. And I don't know if it's because Joe, the writer, is a writer himself, but this character was fabulous. I mean, some of the other characters, it's all about having the shirt off and, you know, there's not much philosophy in it. But the writer and his scenes and his sex scenes are amazing. They were mind-blowing and really made you think about what is sex, what is connection, what is sex drive. And I think that even heterosexuals would relate to this. It's fabulous, fun, sexy, and on for Mardi Gras, and it's running at the New Theatre until the 10th of March. So don't miss it. It's really fun.
Cause the bottom line is wake up swimming. Well, you found all you need.
And you're listening to Stages. Well, Metamorphosis is playing at the Old Fitzroy Theatre, and we have the director on the line to have a chat about it. Now, this is, like I said earlier, not Kafka, but Ovid's, based on Ovid's poem, but it's not actually Ovid's poem. It's an adaptation of some sort by Mary Zimmerman, which was nominated for a number of awards back in 2002. And we have on the line Dino Dimitriadis to have a chat about the production, the director. Welcome to Stages.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So this is a series of vignettes, not vignettes, short stories, which are based on stories from the Ovid's poem. But that's a massive thing. That's like 15 books and 250 myths. Do you want to give us an idea, a little bit of Metamorphosis?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a massive thing. Ovid's book is huge. And what Mary Zimmerman's done is picked 10 myths from that to weave together sort of, a step through the metamorphosis through her eyes. And she's been very kind of selective about the 10 stories that she has chosen, looking at sort of love and, you know, in the face of inevitable change. And so she did that reimagining, I guess you could say, for her Broadway production. And we've then reimagined Mary Zimmerman's reimagining for our version.
So Metamorphosis is about transformation. Is that what each story is a different kind of transformation?
I think so. Look, transformation is an overall theme or sort of the inevitability of change. What it does as well is cover so many sort of primal ideas and sort of looks at our essential humanity. But there is certainly so much of that are the great changes that happen in life, and also some literal great changes as well in all her stories, the body transforming, the process of aging. All those ideas are pretty heavily peppered through the metamorphoses and certainly in Zimmerman's reimagining of it.
And how is it relevant for Mardi Gras then? Does the metamorphosis, is that anything to do with coming out or transgender or anything like that as well?
Well, no, what we've done is, so in reimagining Zimmerman, I've approached this production with a queer lens. So we have made a queer piece of theatre that has looked at these classic age-old stories through that lens.
Mm.
And that lens has been a number of things. It's been, whilst some of the queering of it is not inherent in the metamorphoses itself, there's certainly so much room for it. And so in the exploration of gender and sex in this production, and also in the type of theatre it is and the possibilities that Zimmerman's play allows for, we've put a queer lens on it in this production.
So you were talking about characters from mythology like Bacchus and Midas and Eurydice and Eros and Psyche. How so these sort of archetypes, have you taken, say, Eros and Psyche and changed the sex of them, or how have you gone about that adaptation and change?
Absolutely. I think one of the key things about the metamorphosis, as we said, is the sort of the inevitable and constant change. And for me, a big part of a queer theatre is the idea that identity is not fixed but ever changing and constantly fluid. And so sort of gender bending is certainly one of the devices we've used in the production to highlight that, but also to sort of, you know, raise questions about gender constructs, because I've retained all the pronouns as written. And so when you're seeing what is quite heavily written as a story between a woman and a man, whatever that the idea of that is, and then you start to play with that, it starts to it looks at what transcends the queer reading. It also looks what has sort of made its way in because of constructs and ideas of gender, and you start to hopefully see those as dissolving and as constructs, and the sort of interchangeability of identity and fluidity of that is really what starts to come out.
And is it text-based, or have you used visual a lot more than text, or movement a lot more than text?
It's text-based, but it's very heavily visual and movement-based as well. So it's a type of, I think it's a type of theatre we don't often see in Sydney, where it's not entirely physical theatre without text. It's not text-driven, sort of character-driven narrative. It's not naturalistic in any way. As you said, it's very much centred on archetypes, and also Zimmerman's play presents the 10 myths as 10 fragments. And so the idea of fragmenting the work and drawing meaning between the fragments and fragmenting it even more has been something I've done. And so it's an extremely physicalized staging. There is constant movement. There is a lot of theatrical magic, a lot of production elements to it to sort of amplify the stories.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us one of the little vignettes or one of the little stories within the 10 that are there? A taste of something?
Absolutely.
Like
There's some that are familiar to us. So, for example, two of the vignettes that are familiar to us are the Midas story.
Where everything you touch turns to gold.
Everything you touch has turned to gold.
They're all quite moral, aren't they? They're sort of immoral at the basis.
They're very moral. They're absolutely very moral. And so that myth starts off the production, and it's delivered in a female body. And, you know, the ideas in that piece and what it sort of says about power and all that are very interestingly sort of seen through that lens.
The greediness or...
The greediness and the sort of aspiration for more and more at the cost of anything. And
right.
This idea that sort of acquiring, you know, for me in many ways it has, you know, the way we sort of pitched that myth has strong parallels to sort of Trump and the Trumpian age that we're in.
And capitalism, probably.
He wanted more and more gold, and he got what he was wanted right in the end out of greed, but then he couldn't get rid of, he turned his wife to gold, is that right?
His daughter. And so it's really quite you know, that sort of kicks off the play, and then you have other stories which we also have some knowledge of, like the Orpheus and Eurydice myth, which in our production is in two female bodies. And what's extraordinary about Zimmerman's play is that she actually presents two versions of the Orpheus and Eurydice myth, Ovid's version, and then another sort of version that was written in 1908. And so even by presenting those two, she shows how we actually adapt and activate mythology to suit the sort of time that we're in. And while they're universal stories and they're, you know, we've known them for thousands of years, that actually each generation sort of sees it through their lens. So for us to come and do a queer reading in 2018 for the 40th anniversary of Mardi Gras is for me another way of how we can look at, yes, they're universal, but actually see them through our lens now.
Our own new metamorphosis.
Exactly
of the metamorphosis.
Right. Exactly right.
Dino Dimitriadis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Director there of Metamorphosis, which is playing at the Old Fitzroy Theatre until the 10th of March. Sounds just terrific.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
It sounds fantastic.
Well, we're almost out of time, Trish.
Oh.
It's been another great week.
Oh, fantastic.
Good to have you. Rod had to rush off earlier.
Yep.
But
it was good to see him as well.
Yeah, yes. Uh-huh. We'll be back next week. Trisha Stars, I'm Regina Botros. We are Stages. Stick with us. Coming up, Film Fight Club. Here's a little group love. Tongue Tied, playing at the Metro Theatre.